Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Bereishis, we have 8 short and hopefully meaningful Divrei Torah that we will see throughout this Parsha. We're going to start from the very beginning of the Parsha. First Pasuk, Bereishis bar Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-ha-aretz, at the beginning of Kodesh Baruch Hu, created the heaven and the earth. And the Magid Ta'aluma focuses on Bereishis, that the Torah starts with the letter Beis. And when we're talking about the Torah, we're talking about, obviously, the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. There's also the oral law, and that starts with the letter Mem. That's the first Mishnah, Brachos. The very first letter in Shas is Mem, Me'emasai Koin at the Shema, talking about when, what's the proper time to say the Kriya Shema. And if we put those two together, the base from Bereishis of the Torah Shebichsav, and the Mem of the Me'emasai from the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we have the word Bam. And that is a reference to what we say in the Kriyat Shema, V'dibarta Bam. Chazal tell us, Dibarta Bam. The Torah tells us, that is, we should be speaking in Divrei Torah, we should be speaking about Torah, and the Gemara in Yuma tells us, V'lo b'dvarim acherim, and not about other things. And what this is telling us, V'dibarta Bam, the Beis and the Mem is referring to Torah Shebichsav, that's the Beis, Bereishis. Or the Mem, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mem of Me'emasai. We should be V'dibartabam, talking about Torah. And it doesn't matter what part of Torah. It can be the written law, it can be the oral law. It can be various other things as well. If you want to talk about Shkaf, if you want to talk about the Rambam's Mora Nevuchim, there is such breadth and depth in Torah. But indeed, that's what we're learning from here. V'dibarta bam, our speaking should be bam in the Torah, but it should not be about trivialities that are not helpful or have any function or use for us. So that is the remez, the bereishis, the beis is part of the bam that we should be constantly involved in the Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now we are moving forward to number 2. We are in Pasuk, the Perakei, Pasuk Ches, Vayere, Vayvoker, Yom Echad, famous Pasuk, that it was the evening, it was the morning, that was the first day. And an interesting point, Imre Shefer tells us that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, if we look at our day, the day unit, starts from the night before, night and then day. And when it comes to the non-Jews, it's the opposite. It's the day and thereafter the night. So it's the opposite order. When it comes to you Jews again, nighttime starts the day, like when we start Shabbos. We start Shabbos at Shkia sunset Friday, and then it ends. We go through Saturday day, and it ends at night. So the day and the night, it starts in the order of the night and then the day, not the day, the night. So what's interesting here is that the Imre Shefer explains that what does the night represent? The night represents a time of darkness, a time of sorrow, a time of judgment, the time of decree, a time of difficulties and challenges. And if we apply that concept of the night and what does the day represent, better times. The day will come out tomorrow, right? The sun will come out tomorrow. So the night is difficulties, the day is reprieve and positive things. And when it comes to Klal Yisrael, this is represented by the night and then the day, that the challenges happen first. Throughout Jewish history, we have certainly had many, many challenges in Galus, the Inquisitions, the pogroms, the Holocaust, the anti-Semitism that we experience throughout the world, the difficult times come, that's the night. But Emir Tashem, it will be followed by a day, a time of sunshine, a time where there won't be these difficulties and challenges, a time of upside, a time of opportunity and good. On the other hand, when it comes to the non-Jews, the day comes first. The good times, let the good times roll. But that is followed by the night, the difficulties and travails. And obviously, Klal Yisrael has the upside. And that is one of the questions that we are asked at Me'a Ve'esrim, is the Gemara in Shabbos, Dam Lamed Aleph. One of the questions we're asked when being judged, Tzipita Yeshua, did you look forward to better times? Indeed, we are looking forward constantly to the better times of when Mashiach comes. That is going to be the daytime. And interestingly, we've been focusing on the day unit, night, day, day, night. Klal Yisrael is the night and then the day. The same thing applies on the weekly unit. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, we have 6 weekdays, and it goes from Sunday till Friday, and then comes Shabbos. But when it comes to the non-Jews, it's the opposite. They have their weekend, their Sabbath, talking about the Christians, on Sunday, and then starts the rest of the week starting from Monday. And again, that represents the very same thing when it's Klal Yisrael. The 6 days is turmoil. That is travail. That is work, hard work. And Emir Tashem, it's followed by the beauty of Shabbos, which is the day. And when it comes to the non-Jews, again, it's the opposite. They start out with a bang. They start out with their Sabbath, but then it only goes downhill from that. We are moving forward to number three, the famous pasuk, Nase Adam, creation of man. This is Perek Aleph, pasuk Chaf Vav, and there's a medrash, an interesting medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was about to create man, he consulted. There's another famous medrash that he consulted the Malachim. That's why it says Nase Adam. Rashi brings it down, consulting with the Malachim, creation of man. This is a different medrash. The medrash says that he consulted with various traits. And here it says as follows, Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with Chesed, the Midah, the character trait of Chesed. And Chesed said, you should create man. That's Chesed. Let's be giving. Let's create man. On the other hand, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with Emes, truth, Amar lo al tivra, don't create man. Why not? Shekulo shkarim, because he's full of falsehoods. Don't bring something into the world that's full of falsehoods, that's full of sheker. So that Emes says, don't create man. So Chesed, yes. Emes, no. Tzedek was consulted and said, Tzedek says, like from tzedakah, righteousness, yes, create man. On the other hand, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with Shalom, peace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the peace said, don't create man. Why? Shekulo katata, because man is quarrelless. Man is constantly fighting. Why bring somebody into the world that is constantly fighting? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He consulted the four. Two said yes, two said no. The two that said no were Emes and Shalom. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, natal Emes, bishlichu la'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Emes and he threw him to the ground. That is what the Medrash says. So there's an interesting question that the Rebbe from Kutz, the Kutzker Rebbe, says, we had two that said no, nay, don't create man. It was Emes and Shalom, and the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu discarded not Shalom, but Emes. Why only Emes? Why not discard Shalom as well? You're disregarding both of their desires. Both of them said don't create man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gets rid of Shalom and not Emes. So what's going on here? So the Kutzker Rebbe says beautifully. He says, if you get rid of Emes, automatically there's going to be Shalom. What does that mean? So many of the fights, if you remember, Emes said, don't bring man into this world because they're full of sheker. And Shalom said, they're constantly fighting. Shalom's problem was, if they're fighting, but what happens if they're not fighting? So oftentimes the fighting that people have is that one thinks his side is Emes, and the other side thinks his side is Emes. I'm right. I'm fighting for truth. And the other one thinks that he's fighting for truth. So if we remove that from the equation, take Emes out of the equation, automatically there's not going to be a lot of fighting, and there's going to be Shalom. And Shalom, the Mid of Shalom, is not going to have this complaint, don't create man, because he's fighting so much, because once we remove Emes, people can't fight over their Emes, my Emes, your Emes. Accordingly, then there will be Shalom. So Shalom will have no longer any complaints. So that's how the Kutzker Rebbe explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu just had to remove the Emes from the equation, and then Shalom no longer had his claim that man should not be created because there were no longer any fights. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel. We have the discussion between the Nachash, the snake who outsmarted Chava, coerced her to eat from the tree that she was not supposed to be eating from, the Eitz Hadas. And now in the conversation before that happens, so Chava says to the Nachash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told her, not only don't eat from the tree in the center of Gan Eden, but also v'lo tigubo, don't touch it as well. So she added that on. She wasn't allowed to eat it, and she added on, God told me I'm not allowed to touch it as well. So Rashi brings as follows, Hosifa al hatzivoy, because she added on to the commandment, it came in the end of the day that she decreased from the commandment. In other words, she added on, you added on the chumrah, not only can't you eat it, but you also can't touch it. And in the end of the day, not only did she touch it, but she ate it as well. So what's going on here? And a famous question is, she added on. She added on, okay, but that seems to be a positive thing. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Vasu Siag LaTorah. You should make protections and fences that you don't come and violate the Torah. In fact, Chazal did that in a number of occasions, so we don't come to violate. And Isser Doraisa, so they instituted in Isuri Derabanan to protect as Gidarim, protections and fences that we don't come to violate Doraisas. And in fact, Asu Mishmer, the Mishmarti, that's a pasuk in the Torah, that we should put up protective fences, even ourselves. If we feel that we're lacking, we're weak in a certain area, and we may come to violate something, we should build our own protections as well. So what is wrong with Chava here saying, I shouldn't even be touching the tree as well, not only eating it? So the answer is as follows. Her problem, and the problem that she did, and the problem that we continue to do, or may continue to do, is when we add on these chumras, when we add on these protections, that could be okay. But when we think that it came from God, that God commanded me to do it, as opposed to our instituting something ourselves to protect against violating something that God told us not to do, that's a problem. When we confuse things, and say it came from God, but it really didn't come from God, it came from us, there's a violation of the Torah. Latosif al dvarav, we're not allowed to add on. Here, we have Chava saying to the Nachash, saying to the snake, Amar Elokim lotochlu mimenu v'lotigubo. God told me, don't eat it and don't touch it. She's not saying, I don't think I should. I shouldn't be touching it from her own volition. That would be asusiag l'Torah. That would be somebody instituting a protection in the Torah, and that would be valid. But when you say God commanded you to do something that is not in the Torah, that is indeed what is a problem. And indeed, when we learn halacha, it's very important that we do distinguish between the layers. Something that is a deraisa, something that's in the Torah, God commanded us to do. Something that's the rabbanan, that is rabbinic in nature. And chumras are things that we add. And it's very important that we distinguish between the two and not know, or the three. And not think when it comes to a chumra, we're accepting upon ourselves that that is mi'ikar adin, that God commanded that to us. Certainly, there are valuable times to have chumras and siyagim and protections, but we have to always bear in mind that that is what it is, that it is a siyag, it's a protection that either Chazal added on or we're adding on to it. But don't confuse the various levels. If something is midoraisa, that is God commanded. If it's the Rabbanan, it's rabbinic in nature, we also have to keep it. And if it's not the Rabbanan, if it's a minhag, it's a chumrah, we just have to bear in mind the level of responsibility, the level of authority that is obligating us to do something, but don't confuse the different levels. And that is where Chava made a mistake, saying that God commanded her to not touch the tree rather than herself. Now we are moving on to vort number 5. We are right after the unfortunate event with Cain killing his brother Hevel. And Cain basically says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me another chance, give me tshuva. He basically said, what did I do so wrong? He didn't really say, give me tshuva, but what do you want me to do at this point? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very powerful pasuk. It's Perek Dalet. Pasuk Zayin says, Halo im teitiv se'es. If you want to improve, se'es is you will be forgiven. But if you don't improve, if you continue in your ways, the pasach chatas rovetz, the sin that's the chatas rovetz rests at the door. The pasach is the door, chatas is the sin, rovetz is waiting for you. And what he's saying is, if you don't strengthen yourself, if you don't improve yourself, sin is going to get you, and it's going to get you again and again and again. And the Ksav Sofer has a really amazing drasha, very powerful drasha on this pasuk. He says that, having a schedule is critical. And when we're in our environment and we are around, he doesn't say this exact language, but I'll elaborate on it. When we're around our friends, when we're around our chavrusas, when we're around our rabbanim, when we're around our family members, especially when a husband is around the wife, there are protections built in that he will not come to sin. You're in your environment. You're sticking to your routine. You're sticking to when you go to shul, your minyan, your chavrusa, going to your shiurim. However, when you step out of that environment, for example, when you go on that business trip, you go out of the door. When you leave the door and you leave your schedule and you have to go in a different way, You have to go on that business trip and you're not based on your routine and you're not in your environment and you're not going to your normal shul and you don't have your regular schedule, that is when the risks increase precipitously that someone is going to sin. And that's what the Ksav Sofer reads as follows in the puzzle, LePesach, right by your door, when you have to leave the door, Chatas Rovetz, that is where the Yetzer Hara is waiting for you. When you need to go off of your regular routine, you leave the door, you're going on that trip, sin is waiting for you. We are now moving forward to number 6 in this very same Pasuk, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, Ve'elecha Tshukasova Tati Shalbo. So its desire is to you, talking about sin, the Yetzer Hara. Unless you improve, and even when you improve, the Yetzer Hara wants to attack you. You can conquer it, Vatatim Shalbo, but it's certainly not easy. So the Chavos Halvavos has an amazing distinction here as follows, that the Yetzer Hara, we may have challenges with other people, and maybe we have enemies that want to attack us, but he says as follows, there's a difference between them. The Chavos Halvavos says, when it comes to the Yetzer Hara is never going to give in. And even if you beat the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara tries to trip you up one time, 10 times, 30 times, 100 times, and is not successful, that Yetzer Hara is going to continue to gnaw you and attack you and to try to trip you up. And that is different from dealing with other people. That when you have to deal with another person, even your sworn enemy, your worst sworn enemy, but you were successful against him, he came to attack and you won. You were so victorious one time, two times, three times. He's going to stop at a certain point. He sees that he's not getting anywhere. However, when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, Chazal tell us, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yomoscha, don't believe in yourself until you die. Even if you've been beating the Yetzer Hara at its game for 70 years, it doesn't matter. It's going to continue attacking, going against you, trying to trip you up, and it may be successful. And that's why it says, Ve'ilecha tshukaso, it desires to trip you up. It's going to come, attack. And even if it sees, this is an amazing drasha of the Chavos Halvavos, even if it sees, Vatatim Shalombo, that you are winning time and time again, it doesn't matter. It's going to still continue to attack. So he reads the pasuk as follows. Typically, we read of Elecha Chukasova Tatim Shalombo, and he desires, the Yitzhar wants to attack you, wants to trip you up, and you can conquer it. It desires you, but you can conquer it. He says as follows, he starts the same, that Yetzer Hara wants to desire you, wants to trip you up, and even if it sees, even if it sees you beat, you're winning, you're victorious one time, two times, 100 times, it will continue to try to attack you. And that's why that Chazal, don't have faith in yourself, not until you're old, but until you die, because that Yetzer Hara is never going to give up until the last second. We are now moving to number 7. We are talking about the life of Adam Harishon. We are in Perek Hey, Pasuk Hey, V'yu Yimei Adam, Asher Chai Tshamot Shana U'Shoshim Shana V'yamot. Adam Harishon, these were the days of Adam, the days that he lived, Asher Chai, 930 days, and then he passed away. And the question that the Ksav HaKabbalah asks as follows is, what are these words, Asher Chai? So many times we have in the Torah, it says somebody lived this many years. It could have just said, V'yu Yimei Adam Tshameot Shana. Adam lived 930 years. Why did it say Asher Chai? So as is known, Adam Arishon was supposed to live not 930 years, but 1,000 years. How do we know that? The Pasuk says as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam in the Garden of Eden, when Adam was created, B'yom HaChalcha Mimenu Mos Tamus, the day that you eat from that tree, the Eitz Hadas, you will be put to death. But what does that mean, the day? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elef Shanim Be'enecha Kiyom Esmo, 1,000 years in the eyes of God is like yesterday, is like one day. So one day to Kadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. So from here we learn that Adam Arishon was supposed to live 1,000 years. So why did he die at 930 years? Because David HaMelech was given no years. He was supposed to die immediately. Adam Arishon gave over 70 of his years to David HaMelech, leaving 930 that Adam HaRishon actually lived. So he was supposed to have 1,000, but only lived 930. And that is why the Pasuk says, Vayu Yemei Adam Asher Chai. These were the years that Adam practically really lived. He was supposed to be 1,000, but he only lived Lemaisa Chama Ochano Shloshim Shana 930 years, because he gave 70 to David HaMelech. And now for number 8, we are in Perek Hey Pasuk Chav Dalet VaYisalech Chanoch Es Elokim, that Chanoch went with the Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'einenu, and he is no longer Ki Lakach Laso Elokim, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu took him before his time. Rashi explains as follows: Tzadik Hayach Chanoch was a big tzadik. However, V'kal B'dato Lashuv L'Arshia, the problem was that he could easily be tripped up. He could return to doing rishus, to doing evil. Meaning he could be easily influenced to go to the dark side. He was a tzaddik, but he wasn't as strong as other tzaddikim were, like Avram Avinu. And accordingly, because he could fall easily, l'chein nilkach kodem zmano, Kodesh Baruch Hu, in fact, did him a favor and took him before his time earlier. He was supposed to live longer. Kodesh Baruch Hu shortened the time he would live in order to ensure that Chanoch would not fail and be influenced by the evildoers of his generation. So the Chasam Sofer says as follows, that Chanoch, the Pasuk tells us that Chanoch went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can learn from that he was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he wasn't there for the others in his generation. He distanced himself. He was by himself. He wasn't trying to inspire others to do good. That's what Avram Avinu did. And that was the chesed of Avram Avinu, that he was trying to be mashpia, inspire, influence others in his generation. Chanoch was a tzaddik, but he did not have that aspect of him. And accordingly, he did not have an additional protection. The Mishnah in Avos tells us, Kol hamizaka es harabim ein chet bal yado. Somebody does a schus for the rabim. He's inspiring others. He's doing chesed for the rabim. He's the gabbai in the shul. He's doing things for the tzibor. He will not be chote. The fact that you're inspiring others, that you're doing for others, will protect you and protect you that others, the evildoers, will not come to negatively inspire you. Negatively inspire you, de-inspire you. And in fact, when it's saying about Chanoch, because he was not inspiring others and doing for others, he could easily be inspired and brought down by them. And this is an important insight. How do we protect ourselves in the secular world? That there's so many negative influences. By doing good for others, by being involved in the tzibur and inspiring others to do mitzvahs, that acts as a protection. And accordingly, we can go back to our pasuk, says the Chasam Sofer, Vayisalech Chanoch es Elokim. Chanoch went together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but away from other people. He was by himself. He distanced himself from other people. He worshipped Hashem, but accordingly, because of this, he wasn't there for others. The fichach, accordingly, the einenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him early, kilakachato Elokim, because why? Because he was unprotected. He was unprotected. He wasn't doing for others. Accordingly, he could be negatively influenced by others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you're just here for me, which is a great thing as well, but not for others, you are at risk of being negatively hurt on a spiritual level by others. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take him before his time. That's why Rashi explains he was a tzaddik. However, he could easily fall into the clutches of the Rishayim of his generation. And accordingly, for his own good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am taking you before your time. Thanks so much for listening.